There is a number that should be intolerable. 22. That is the estimated number of U.S. military veterans who die by suicide every single day. Not per month, not per year, per day. It is a casualty rate that exceeds every active combat operation the United States is currently engaged in, and it has persisted, at roughly the same level, for over a decade, despite billions of dollars in VA mental health spending. The standard of care is not working. This is not an accusation. It is a measurement. Sertraline, the most commonly prescribed antidepressant for combat-related PTSD, shows response rates of approximately 60%, but full remission rates hover around 20 to 30%. For veterans who do respond, the medication must be taken daily, indefinitely, with side effects that many describe as trading one form of suffering for another. Something different is needed. Not incrementally different, categorically different. The clinical data emerging from psilocybin-assisted therapy trials with veteran populations suggests that something categorically different has arrived. Combat exposure produces measurable changes in neural architecture that persist long after the threat environment is left behind. The amygdala becomes hyperactive. The prefrontal cortex shows reduced volume and decreased connectivity. The hippocampus atrophies under sustained cortisol exposure. The result is a brain physically restructured for a threat environment that no longer exists. The veteran is stateside. The brain is still deployed.
Moral injury occurs when a service member perpetrates, witnesses, or fails to prevent an act that violates their deeply held moral beliefs. It is not fear-based, like classical PTSD. It is shame-based and guilt-based. The veteran does not relive the event because they were afraid. They relive it because they participated in something they believe was wrong, or failed to prevent something they believe they should have stopped. PTSD is a threat processing disorder. The amygdala responds as if the threat is still present. Moral injury is a self-model disorder. The default mode network has integrated an event into the self-narrative in a way that produces chronic shame, guilt, and loss of meaning. These require different therapeutic mechanisms. Psilocybin addresses both. Research estimates that 25 to 50% of combat veterans experience significant moral injury. It is the primary driver of the existential despair that underlies veteran suicide. Not the fear of threat, but the belief that one is irreparably damaged, fundamentally unforgivable, or no longer the person they were before deployment. SSRIs do not address moral injury. They modulate serotonin. They do not restructure the self-narrative that tells a veteran they are beyond redemption. Cognitive processing therapy attempts to address it, but asking a veteran to verbally reframe an event they experienced as a moral violation often triggers avoidance and dropout. The narrative is too fortified. The default mode network has locked it in.
Why psilocybin works for veterans. Psilocybin's therapeutic mechanism maps precisely onto the dual architecture of combat trauma: the structural damage, amygdala hyperactivation, hippocampal atrophy, prefrontal weakness, and the narrative damage, default mode network encoded moral injury, rigid self-model. Mechanism 1. DMN dissolution unlocks the moral injury narrative. The default mode network holds the self-narrative. In moral injury, that narrative is, I did something unforgivable. I am damaged. I cannot be the person I was. This narrative runs on repeat, reinforced by every iteration, structurally encoded in DMN connectivity patterns. Psilocybin's selective suppression of DMN activity, the 40% reduction in medial prefrontal to posterior cingulate cortex connectivity, documented by Carhart-Harris, temporarily dissolves the infrastructure that holds this narrative in place. The narrator goes silent. The rigid self-model loosens. For the first time since the injuring event, the veteran experiences awareness without the filter of self-judgment. Veterans consistently describe this as the most therapeutically significant moment of the session.
I could see what happened without being defined by it. The guilt was still there, but it wasn't the entirety of who I am. I realized I was judging myself by a standard that no human could have met in that situation. These are not rationalizations. They are perceptual shifts produced by measurable changes in network architecture. The DMN loosening allows the brain to reevaluate events that it had previously sealed in a rigid interpretive frame.
Mechanism 2, BDNF-driven structural repair.
The 12-fold increase in dendritic spine density that psilocybin triggers is not targeted to specific content. It is a global increase in prefrontal and hippocampal neuroplasticity. For the veteran brain, where the hippocampus has atrophied, where prefrontal limbic connectivity has weakened, this represents an opportunity for structural repair that no current pharmaceutical provides. 67% of veterans with treatment-resistant PTSD showed clinically significant symptom reduction after psilocybin-assisted therapy in early clinical trials. Multiple participants no longer met diagnostic criteria for PTSD at the 3-month follow-up, after years of failed conventional treatment. The BDNF-mediated neuroplasticity window following psilocybin administration provides the conditions for the hippocampus to begin rebuilding connective architecture, restoring the contextual memory function that allows the brain to distinguish past threat from present safety. The brain is not just processing the trauma differently, it is physically rebuilding the structures that trauma degraded. Mechanism 3, amygdala modulation. Functional imaging studies show that psilocybin reduces amygdala reactivity to threat-related stimuli. In combat PTSD, where amygdala hyperactivation drives hypervigilance, startle responses, and sleep disturbance, this represents a direct intervention on the core neurological symptom. The reduction is not permanent suppression, it is recalibration. The amygdala does not stop responding to threat. It returns to a threshold-appropriate response level. Veterans describe this as, "I still notice things, I'm still aware, but I can choose how to respond instead of just reacting."
The clinical landscape. Multiple research institutions are now actively conducting or planning psilocybin trials specifically for veteran populations. The Multidisciplinary Association for Psychedelic Studies has pioneered much of this work and is expanding into psilocybin-specific veteran protocols. The VA itself, historically the most conservative institution in veteran mental health, has begun funding psychedelic research, a shift that would have been unthinkable 5 years ago. Private organizations are moving faster. The Heroic Hearts Project has facilitated psilocybin-assisted therapy for hundreds of veterans through legal international programs. VETS, Veterans Exploring Treatment Solutions, provides grants for veterans seeking psychedelic-assisted therapy. The Jesse Gould Foundation conducts research and advocacy specifically focused on psilocybin for combat trauma. The early clinical data is consistent across all these efforts: rapid symptom reduction, durable outcomes, and, most critically, high rates of response in the treatment-resistant population. These are veterans who have failed SSRIs, failed benzodiazepines, failed prolonged exposure therapy, failed cognitive processing therapy. They are the hardest cases, and psilocybin is reaching them. The integration challenge. Veteran populations present unique integration challenges that clinical protocols must account for. Military culture values stoicism, self-reliance, and emotional suppression. The psilocybin experience demands the opposite: vulnerability, surrender, emotional expression. The distance between these two operating modes is the integration challenge. Successful veteran-focused protocols address integration through several approaches. Peer support from other veterans who have undergone the experience reduces stigma and provides culturally congruent validation. Somatic integration practices, breathwork, cold exposure, structured physical activity, align with the physical, action-oriented culture that veterans are trained in. Nature-based integration settings reduce the clinical feel that many veterans associate with the VA system they've lost faith in. The ceremonial cacao tradition offers an additional integration tool, a daily practice that is physical, intentional, and neurochemically supportive, providing flavanol-driven BDNF maintenance during the plasticity window.
For veterans accustomed to disciplined daily routines, the structured nature of a ceremonial cacao practice maps naturally onto their existing behavioral architecture. What stands in the way? Psilocybin remains a Schedule I substance under federal law. The FDA's breakthrough therapy designation accelerates the regulatory pathway, but does not bypass it. Phase 3 trials are underway. Approval timelines are measured in years, not months. For the 22 veterans who will die by suicide today, and the 22 tomorrow, and the 22 the day after, the regulatory timeline is not fast enough. This is not an argument against regulation. It is a measurement of the cost of delay. Every day that psilocybin-assisted therapy remains unavailable through the VA system is a day that veterans who could have been reached by this intervention are not. Veterans are not waiting for FDA approval. They are accessing psilocybin therapy through legal international channels, decriminalized domestic jurisdictions, and veteran-focused organizations. The question is not whether veterans will use psilocybin. They already are. The question is whether the infrastructure will be built to support them properly when they do. The mission. Every veteran who served was asked to accept a specific bargain. Put your body and mind in harm's way, and the country will take care of you when you come home. For too many veterans, the second half of that bargain has been broken. The standard of care is insufficient. The suicide rate proves it. The treatment resistance rates prove it. The dropout rates from conventional therapy prove it. Psilocybin-assisted therapy does not fix everything. It does not erase memories. It does not undo moral injury. What it does is provide the conditions: DMN dissolution for narrative restructuring, BDNF expression for physical rebuilding, amygdala recalibration for threat response normalization, under which the brain can begin to heal itself. The compound opens the door. The veteran walks through it. The integration work builds the room on the other side. The science is clear. The clinical data is mounting. The regulatory pathway is in motion. The only question that remains is one of speed and of the willingness to prioritize the population that sacrificed the most. 22 a day is not a statistic. It is a roll call, and every name on it represents a reconstruction that could have been.